I would not expect them to be human beings, because until the resurrection, there aren't really any human beings in heaven. And after the resurrection, even the nature of heaven is sort of changed because the kingdom of God comes to earth. But then again, it depends on when and where John's perspective has shifted to. He was in Patmos. Okay, he's shown a vision of the churches. Now when he's shown this vision, where is this vision taking place? Where are we? When are we? We don't know the answer to these questions. These are mysteries. We don't know when John is. He could have been transported to the future. He could have been left back in that time right then. But depending on when the vision is supposed to be taking place, it totally changes your perspective of the beings you see and of the way things are described. So we'll keep that in mind as we go forward. When is John? Where is he?
We will look for indications in the scriptures that will help us understand the answer to those questions. But what about these elders? What do they represent?
They are clothed in white and crowned with gold.
In another place, the saints are given white robes, which are described as the righteousness of saints. And a white robe, I mean clothed in it, indicates purity, righteousness. So the whiteness of the garments of these elders represents their purity and their uprightness. They are given crowns of gold. This denotes also that they have, from God, authority and power, which has been given to them. These are powerful elders. They are so described.
God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges in the midst of the gods.
That's Psalm 82, and the word there, Elohim, which means gods. But it is worth noting that that word is also used of angels. They are described as Elohim, as God is labeled Elohim. So obviously that is a term that has some latitude in the Hebrew, describing not only God, but lesser beings. In that psalm specifically, he refers to men as Elohim. The leaders among men sit as though they are gods. So it's a lot like I said about the church. They are calling themselves church. So he honors them and judges them as a church. And when men sit in the place of God as judges over other men, he also honors that and says, I will now judge you as gods. What kind of gods are you? How long will you judge unjustly and exalt the persons of the wicked? When man sits as God sits in judgment, or a man clothes himself with power in symbols of power as God only has a right to, well, he only and those to whom he grants the right, such as these elders. When man does that for himself, then God judges him based on what he has clothed himself in. You array yourself as a god, you will be judged like one. And God is known to judge gods with a very discerning eye. We know there is but one God. But when he crowns someone, clothes them in white, and gives them power, they are standing in a position as God stands in power. As Jesus said, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame, and then sit down with my Father in his throne. That's when the New Testament talks about the adoption. We are the adoption. He is going to make us his sons. What kind of son does a God have? What do you call the Son of God? The Pharisees knew. They said, because thou, being a man, makest thyself equal with God. For in their view, to claim to be the Son of God was to claim to be equal with God. But when God says, you are my son, it is no blasphemy. When God adopts us and makes us his children, when he clothes us in white and puts the crown upon our head, we are accepted of him. We will wear these symbols of power and of purity because he has deemed us worthy. As God also judged these elders worthy.
Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And what says they're crowns of gold? As I get older, I begin to see these things as more symbolic because we value gold. I don't know that God puts a lot of value on it. Why would they need golden crowns in heaven?
I mean, is gold so precious? God could just make a bunch of gold. He could just speak it into existence. He could make a whole planet. It's nothing but gold, just a solid gold rock. That's all gold ultimately is. It's a metallic piece of rock. Has interesting properties. It doesn't tarnish. The properties of gold lend us understanding to its symbolic significance. In Revelation chapter 9, it speaks of these locusts that come out of the bottomless pit. And they have on their heads crowns like gold. Now, are gold crowns, like genuine gold crowns, in short supply to the devil? Is the devil short on the good old gold? Has he got it all tied up in some other precious metal, all his wealth? Or is the fact that the crowns are said to be merely like gold supposed to signify something? I think the latter, that the devil could have a genuine gold crown, but that does not make him a genuine king. And so also the locusts could have genuine golden crowns on their head, but that does not make them the genuine angels of God. The crowns of gold are not what they appear to be. They're symbols of power. But when it says that the crowns are like gold, it means that there's something not genuine about it. And it's all tied up in the symbolic meaning, not in the literal. Whenever we talk about the literal, I think of the letter and the spirit. The spirit makes alive, but the letter kills. I mean, there are definitely things we need to take right out the way they are written. And there are other things which are symbolic. And I tell you, one of the most important and difficult tasks in teaching or interpreting the word is to understand when things are to be taken literal and when things are to be taken symbolic. It's not a job I take lightly. It's not a task that we should just lightly pass over, as if it's just a foregone conclusion. Of course we should take everything literally. Of course we should take everything symbolic. We shouldn't pass over these things lightly, but consider and give everything due consideration, and I do try to do that.
All these things are shown to John to communicate to human beings. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Isaiah 66 says. Because technically speaking, God doesn't need a throne. He has one. His throne is heaven. As they say, he is omnipresent. He is everywhere. God is everywhere. The true nature of God. He is enthroned in heaven.
Coordinates, X15, Y23, Z4. No. His throne is the heavens.
Well, you know, we used to think of the earth as being a pretty big place, but now we realize that the earth is embedded in heaven itself. It is just a speck floating in the heavens,
which are actually so vast that our minds simply cannot comprehend it as it ought to be comprehended. Meaning, we understand the universe is big, and they give us these numbers that show, you know, times whatever to the power and light years and all that. But